Our sermon this morning is entitled The Herald of God, and it is based on the gospel reading for today from Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and of Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali toward the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew says that from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Today's scripture draws our attention to the message that Jesus preached. We're told that about the time when John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus left Nazareth, his hometown, and went north up into Capernaum in the region of Galilee. This is to say that he now begins his ministry as a traveling preacher. As he leaves Nazareth, it's as though he is closing one door and opening another and taking up a public ministry, his mission. And what is his mission? It is to be the herald of God, the newscaster, the Word made flesh who announces the good news of the kingdom. Matthew says Jesus began to preach. Now, the word preach in the original language is the word used for the proclamation or announcement that a herald brings from the king or the ruler. It means to announce an event, to proclaim news from the ruler, from the king. We have to remember that in those days, if a ruler had something to say to his people, he sent out messengers or runners, heralds, to announce, hear ye, and to give the message. I mention this today because the word preach usually implies hearing something boring today. And just listen how we use the word preach. We hear people say, "Don't preach at me." And if we take a righteous stand for something, we're considered too preachy. I can tell you that Jesus didn't come with boring issues, but with glad tidings of great joy. He was the herald of God, bringing word of God, and the people knew it. So what exactly did Jesus preach? Well, certainly not the therapeutic sermons we hear today on how you can find your true inner self, that voice within you, and certainly not the moralistic messages we hear about being nice and remembering that God loves you, or the financial messages about how God wants to make you successfully rich, or the politically correct insanity that religion is like a supermarket where you can choose to believe whatever you like, because all religions lead to heaven anyway. Jesus proclaimed one thing, the kingdom of God. Every sermon, every parable, every teaching had to do with the news that the kingdom of God was imminent, was ready to break in upon them, to be revealed, and so get ready to be surprised. But what did Jesus mean by this phrase, the kingdom of God? If we don't know that, we really don't know what Jesus' message or his life or his death was all about. Matthew tells us the totality or the sum of his message summarized is this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In all four gospel accounts, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this phrase, the kingdom of God, occurs over 100 times. On Jesus' lips, the words really mean the kingship of God, more than the kingdom of God, because a kingdom is a place ruled by a king. But a kingship is about God's reign, his rule, his power. God's sovereign reign is at hand. God's sovereign reign and power is breaking in. It is on your doorstep. Get ready to encounter it. That was Jesus' message. No longer is God up there, out there, somewhere, doing something for somebody else. God is now here. He is in the midst of you. He is at hand, and he will be knocking on the door of your heart. He has come among you in order to be found. He has come to save. That's news. That's not advice. It's not good advice. It is good news. Like the announcement in 1944 when the war ended, that was not good advice either. It was good news of an event that had taken place. And I was a boy at the time, but I went to Times Square in New York that day that the news came, as everyone did. It wasn't a suggestion for you to think about. It wasn't a decision that you had to make. It was just simply news for you to celebrate. Because one way or the other, it touched your life. You could believe the news or not believe the news. But if you believed it, it repented you. It changed your life. How could it not? The war was ended. That's why Jesus' message called people to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repent on Jesus' lips was not some spiritual advice for you to think about from some spiritual guru. Technically, the word is a command. Turn from your own ways. Lift up your eyes higher than the fence posts. Reverse your direction in life. The war between you and God is over. The night is ended. That's what repent, the kingdom is at hand, means. And it had an urgency to it, because the reign of God was about to be revealed before their very eyes in all kinds of signs, healing, miracles. The dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor are hearing great news proclaimed to them. God had invaded this world in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word was enfleshed in a human life, and all flesh was about to see a great light, to see the glory of God revealed. In Jesus' own person, says Scripture, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, making him the epiphany of God. He is God's epiphany, God's appearing among us. The light from on high has dawned. And how are we to respond? Repent and believe the good news. For centuries, the Jews waited to hear this announcement, and now it had come. God had promised that the day would come when he would act. He would save his people. He would reveal the strength of his arm. He would send his anointed one, the Messiah, and the Messiah would usher in the kingship of God. But Jesus, as the herald of God, had a problem. For centuries, the Jewish people had been conquered and oppressed and forced to live under foreign domination. And so this promise of God's inbreaking reign in time was spun into a nationalistic and political slogan. The Jews dreamed that their Messiah would come with a sword drawn, and he would restore Israel's prosperity and prestige. And so when Jesus began preaching, he first had to empty the slogan, Kingdom of God, from all its political and nationalistic baggage. He had to explain that the kingdom is within you. Your enemy, he said, is not Caesar, but Satan, and the evil that is in your own hearts. To Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. The kingdom of God is within the heart, said Jesus. It's about who is enthroned in your heart, who rules in your life, who is God. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. And if you remember your catechism, you remember Luther asked, what does this mean, to pray, thy kingdom come? And he explains, God's kingdom comes without our praying for it. But just think of that. Without our praying for it. Well, then, why should we pray for it? Well, Luther continues, we pray in this prayer that it will come to us. Your kingdom come to me. And Luther continues, when does that happen? And he answers, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us the Holy Spirit so that we believe his word. And we live a godly life on earth now and in heaven forever. God's kingdom comes when the Holy Spirit awakens faith and we believe the word that came in Christ. What Luther is stressing is that God's kingship, God's reign in our hearts, is a gift that he imparts through his word. You remember Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is God's gift to you. But it's a gift that awaits appropriation. You know, do you want it or not? Appropriation means, well, it's like when funds are budgeted or set aside for a specific task, a purpose, but the money is never spent. It is never appropriated. It is never put to use. It just lays there in the bank for no purpose. God has deposited a great gift to your account. Have you appropriated it? The kingdom of God is his gift to you. Jesus, the herald of God, also opened up the windows of heaven for us to see how God's kingship is at work in our midst. I have only to mention some of the parables he told. You remember how every parable Jesus told began with the words, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, but in time it becomes the largest shrub in the garden. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in a lump of dough. It is alive. It is active. It is silently permeating the whole lump. It is at work, even when you don't see it. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. When you find it, you let go of everything else in order to have that one pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea. True, it gathers all sorts of fish, but when it is drawn ashore, the fish are separated. The good fish are kept, and the bad are thrown away. So it will be at the end, says Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a great wedding banquet given by the king. He sends invitations to everyone, but some were too busy, and others made excuses, and they never appropriated the invitation. They never went to the banquet. Matthew has has summed up the message of Jesus' preaching in one sentence. What did Jesus preach? He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This message means that God has come to take up his rightful throne in our hearts. Our problem is that that's where we have enthroned ourselves. That's what sin is. It is playing God, sitting on the throne. And so the daily struggle is on for us. Who shall be God? God or me? And that's what the Christian life of sanctification has to do with. The Apostle Paul put it so well when he wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ. I died. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In our gospel lesson this morning, Matthew applies an old prophecy from Isaiah in order to say that in Christ a great light has dawned into our world. Under the governance of darkness and the reign of death has come Jesus Christ, the herald of God, proclaiming good news, the kingdom has come among you. So that we who live now under the government of death are offered a new government under which to live, the kingship of God. You can live for this dying world, or you can live for the kingdom of God that came in Jesus Christ. As the New Testament sings, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. To enter the kingdom, you and I need do only one thing: repent. That doesn't mean, as everyone thinks it does, it doesn't mean that you have to first clean up your act, make yourself worthy or qualified or be more acceptable. You'll never be more acceptable than you are right now with all your sin. Repent simply means hit the brakes, turn around. The road of sin and death you're on leads only one way. It leads away from God. To enter the kingdom, trust the good news of Christ and turn around. Change your mind about God, about sin, about what your life and death is all about. The gift is yours. Appropriate it. This is what Jesus, the herald of God, was preaching. And what were the results? Well, when Peter and Andrew and James and John heard the message of the inbreaking kingdom, they repented. they left their boat, their father's house, and they followed Jesus. And it set them on a path that led them to Good Friday and Easter. And that's the path on which God will also lead you and me until we see Christ crucified and risen for us. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, one true God, life without end. Amen.